Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor's Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. You perhaps have heard of Dr. Livingstone, I presume, Scottish missionary who 200 years ago went to Africa and brought the Christian gospel to the heart of Africa. You've probably never heard of Mary Slessor. When Mary Slessor in Scotland heard that Livingstone had died of malaria, she decided, "Now I will go to Africa." What I want to do is tell you the story of Mary Slessor and then derive from her life lessons for our lives. Let's pray. Father, we want to pray this day for missionaries in the field all over the world, that you would use them to reach many people with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, teach us now through the life of one of your saints how we are all to be spreading the gospel of Christ. As long as you give us breath, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mary Slessor was born in Scotland in 1848. She was the second of seven children. Her family was poor. Her father was an alcoholic. An old widow lady shared the gospel with little Mary Slessor, and Mary became a Christian. At times, Mary would be thrown out into the streets as a little girl when her father would come home drunk. Because he could not hold a job, at age 11, Mary began working in the textile mills. By the time Mary was 14, she was working 10 hours a day to support her family, and for the next 13 years, she was the wage earner for her family. Mary joined the Presbyterian Church in her town, and it was the one place of joy for little Mary Slessor. In her mid-20s, her father died, and Mary began doing volunteer work for the Queen Street Mission, and they held open-air meetings and preached the gospel, and Mary learned how to handle the thugs of the streets who were trying to stop the meetings. Mary's mother dreamed of the day when her only living son, John, would become a missionary. But when Mary was 25 years old, her mother's dreams were dashed when John died. And Mary said, "I will take my brother's place." When she heard that the great missionary David Livingstone died, that sealed her decision. And in the summer of 1876, at age 27, Mary sailed for Africa. She arrived in Africa and taught at the mission school, where the missionaries led rather comfortable lives. But this mill girl wanted more. She wanted to go further into the interior to evangelize people that have never heard the gospel. And for this privilege, as she called it, she would have to wait 3 years. After 3 years of waiting and after several bouts with malaria, Mary was excited because she was sent further inland to the Calabar River. She was to live there in a mud hut. She ate local food, and this allowed her to send her mission salary back to her family in Scotland. Mary supervised schools, she dispensed medicine, she mediated disputes, she mothered unwanted children. She would trudge for miles from village to village, sharing Christ with whoever would listen. Witchcraft and spiritism were everywhere, and the natives practiced what they called twin murder. They believed twins were the result of demonic activity, so they would kill the twins and the mother. Mary would rescue these twins and adopt them as her own, and Mary would then gain a respect unheard of for a white woman. But after 3 years, she became so ill she had to return to Scotland. She took with her Janie, one of her adopted twins, and though Mary needed rest in Scotland, she was flooded with requests to speak. She and Janie were such a sensation that the mission board kept them in Scotland, in England, for another 3 years to speak. During this time, Mary cared for her sickly mother and sister, but finally in 1885, Mary returned to Africa. Soon after her arrival in Africa, Mary received word that both her mother and her sister had died. She had great sorrow, and she wrote, "There is no one now to write and tell all my stories and troubles and nonsense to." But along with her loneliness, she sensed now a greater freedom. Quote, "Heaven is now nearer to me than Britain, and no one will be anxious now about me if I go up country." By up country, she meant an area of Africa where missionaries did not survive. It had claimed the lives of many others, and for a single white woman to go there was considered insanity. But Mary's mind was made up. She believed a woman missionary would not be as threatening to the natives, so off she went. For the next 25 years, she entered areas where no white person had survived. Her reputation as a peacemaker spread throughout the area, and soon she was acting as a judge for the whole region. She was given a government position that she held for years, and she presided over disputes. And even though witchcraft declined under her influence, Mary saw few conversions to Christ. But this didn't bother her because she saw her work as preparatory, leading the way so the Christian missionaries who followed her would have an easier time. Mary's main converts were her many adopted children. During this time, she met Charles Morrison, a missionary 18 years younger than herself. They fell in love. Mary accepted his proposal of marriage, provided he would stay with her in the mission work in Africa. The marriage never took place. Charles became ill and had to return, and Mary decided mission work is more important than romance, and they separated. She probably would not have made an ideal wife anyway. She was careless about hygiene. Her mud huts were infested with roaches and rats. She suffered attacks of malaria, often had boils, sometimes was bald because of her illness. But nevertheless, she was a robust woman for her age. She would say, and her children made her happy, she would say, quote, "I am a witness to the perfect joy and satisfaction of a single life." At age 45, Mary, with the help of her children, went even further inland to remote areas. She here encountered great success. For the next 10 years of her life, she would do the pioneering work, knowing other missionaries would follow. At age 66, in 1915, nearly 40 years after coming to Africa, Mary Slessor died in her mud hut. That's the story of Mary Slessor. What I want to do now is to derive four lessons from her life for our lives. Lesson number one. Single people are whole people too. The Apostle Paul was single. He wrote this in 1 Corinthians 7. "I wish that all men were as I am, single. But each one has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another is that." He knew a lot of people are going to get married, and that's their gift. But he says, "Now to the unmarried and to the widows I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I am. But if they cannot control themselves, then they should marry. It is better to marry than to burn with passion. I would have you be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of the world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided." So if you're a single person, God can use you mightily that way. It was a single widow in Scotland who led Mary Slessor to Christ. It was Mary Slessor then who eventually went to Africa to lead people to Christ. Jesus was single. The Apostle Paul was single. So if you're single, let the Lord use you that way. I have a friend who's a pastor. His wife left him for a woman. And I was talking with him about this, and I said to him, you know, the way I understand the Bible, if you get divorced, you should be single. If your prior wife dies, I think you're free to remarry. But the way I read 1 Corinthians 7 and Matthew 18, just be single now for the Lord. And I tried to say, you know, that's not a death sentence. God can use you mightily as a single person. So if you're watching this and you're divorced or you're single or you're widowed, God can use you in a big way. Next lesson from Mary Slessor. Don't settle for a victim mentality. Mary Slessor could have said, oh, poor me, I was born poor, I was into child labor at age 11, I had an alcoholic father, I'm so messed up, oh. But she didn't do that. She didn't let her past keep her from serving God in the present. Philippians chapter 3, Paul the Apostle writes, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the upward prize of God, call of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, if you had an abusive upbringing, I'm not minimizing that, but if there's some way you can just put down the victim mentality and move on. I mean, I remember there was a 90-year-old lady of the church I served. Her name was Dee. Wonderful Christian woman. Served the Lord at our church all the way into age 90, 91. But I remember once she said, can I tell you about my childhood? And she told me, and it was a horror story. But praise God, Dee did not allow her abusive past to keep her from enjoying God in the present. And I'll tell you what I thought of. This is my trash bin in my car. I got this years ago. I love this. Really sturdy. When I have to throw something away, I just put my hand down in the back and I just throw it in my... But you know what happened about 8 years ago? I cracked it. You see the crack? I don't know if you can see it. There's a crack. And I thought, okay, I got to throw it away. But then I went... And you know what? For the last 8 years, it's been fine. My point, and I do have a point, we're all cracked. We're all sinners. We've all been abused in some way, and sometimes we've been the abuser. But if you can do what Mary Slessor did, you go to the church, you get healed, you get, and God will use cracked vessels. In fact, that's the only kind he can use because we're all cracked. We're all sinful. Beware of the victim mentality. Next lesson I learned from Mary Slessor. Let the church be your safe harbor. Little Mary Slessor had one place on earth that she felt safe and loved, and that was her Presbyterian church in Scotland. I hope you go to church. I hope you have a church where you feel loved. I mean, there's a big Methodist church near my house, and I think for a few years they had this sign up in front. I wish they'd put it back up because it was so... Every day I'd drive by it, and you know the words on the sign? You matter to God. And, you know, here's what the Bible says about the church. Ephesians 2. You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. You are God's household, a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built up together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So let the church be your safe harbor. If you don't go to church, you need to find a good church. Every Christian is to be part of the church. And the last lesson from Mary Slessor. Do you understand that you already are a missionary? Mary Slessor did not become a missionary when she went to Africa. She started doing mission work right in her neighborhood in Scotland. That widow lady, the reason Mary Slessor got saved is because that widow lady saw her neighborhood as her mission field. Do you realize you are the only missionary some of the people in your family will ever see, some of the people at your job will ever see? So I want to encourage you to do this. Next time you're going to your family for dinner, or you're going to school, or you're going to work, picture yourself as going to your Africa. That's your Africa. And every Christian is a missionary. So I've started doing this in recent years. I bought a bunch of these Christian tracts. I force myself now to put them in my pocket a lot. And I'm amazed how often, easily, something comes up and I can hand it to someone and I give them the gospel. So know that you are already a missionary, even if you never leave your neighborhood. I do this on the plane. When I get on a plane, I always pray, Lord, if it's your will, put me next to someone to share the gospel. So I said my prayer. I got on the airplane. I'm surrounded by 25 young men, white shirts, black ties, and little badges, Elder so-and-so of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so these are 25 Mormon young men going for their two-year missionary stint. I sit down, young man sitting next to me, plane takes off, I open my Bible. I'm going to read my Bible. He opens this big Book of Mormon, and we got into a long discussion. And I said, you know, no offense, but I don't think Mormonism is biblical. It's not a Christian religion. The Bible teaches there's one God. Mormons believe in thousands of gods. And you don't become God someday if you're a good Mormon. That's nowhere in the Bible. There's one God, not thousands. And God's always been God. He didn't become God on another planet. That's Mormonism. That's not in the Bible. So we had this long, deep talk. And finally, the young man says to me, my dad's a born-again Christian, and he begged me not to come on this trip. Well, the Mormon leader, I think, saw what was going on, so he got up and he came over and he moved the young man to a different seat, and the leader sat next to me, a little awkward. Hi, how you doing? So I don't think we talked much. But listen, when you get on a plane, when you go to your family to visit, when you're going to school, your workplace, see yourself as a missionary going to your Africa, because that's where God has put you. All right, let's review this. Here is what we learn from Mary Slessor. Number one, single people are whole people too. Number two, don't let a life of abuse keep you from serving the Lord now. Don't live under victim mentality. Number three, let the church be your safe harbor. Make sure you find a good church and go regularly. And then lastly, know that you're a missionary. Jesus said to the disciples after he rose from the dead, as the Father sent me, so now I send you. Every Christian is a missionary. One last thing I'm going to ask you to do. If you have never prayed, God, do you want me to go overseas? Is there some mission overseas that you want me to do? Or is there some mission work down the street that needs help? You know, just if you've never prayed, Lord, what specific mission would you have me do? I would do that and then wait to see what the Lord says. I mean, I remember a couple of the church that I served during the worship service. They sensed God was going to call them to missions over in Russia. And they're older than I am, and they're still doing it. So at least pray, Lord, do you want me to go somewhere for your gospel? Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study, where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today, how do you know if God wants you to be single or married?
Well, the Bible is very practical, and Paul, who was single, wrote 1 Corinthians 7 and says, you know, I'd never have everybody be single. You can serve the Lord more fully. But he says one has this gift, marriage, one has that gift, singleness. But then he says, but if you burn with passion, get married. Mm-hmm. In other words, I think probably for most people you get married because God wants to keep populating the planet. But, you know, for some people it's just they don't have a strong desire to be married. Mm-hmm. They want to just serve the Lord as a single person. So I think it's just, how do you know? Well, if you're burning with passion, you should probably get married. Mm-hmm. But what if you're not burning with passion? Does that mean you pray and you just see how God unfolds your life. Mm-hmm. That's the best I can tell you.
True. Yeah. Yeah. Here's another question. What if I have a strong desire to be married and have children, but no spouse materializes?
Well, the Bible does say, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So you delight yourself in the Lord. You follow the Lord. And either he'll bring to fruition that desire of your heart, or he'll change the desire of your heart. and you'll get to the point where, you know, I like being single. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be single than be married. So just, you know, submit it to the Lord, and, you know, don't, if you're, whatever your stage you're at, single, married, don't let it control you that, oh, I wish I wasn't married. Mm-hmm. No, you're married. Oh, I wish I wasn't single. No, you're single. Whatever season of life you're in, try to enjoy that and serve the Lord that way, and not to moon and June too much about what might be.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do I get over painful events from my past that are keeping me from serving God?
You know, I like Mary Slessor had a painful past. Mm-hmm. And I would say, I can think of a person, Christian person, I believe, who had a very abusive father. Mm-hmm. And it's caused him all kinds of emotional pain. And so much so that I don't think he has a job. And I don't think he goes to church. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he's done this or not, but if he's never gotten some good Christian counseling, mm-hmm. I would do that, and I would encourage him to do that. And if somebody watching this is, mm-hmm. you've just got such baggage because of the way you were raised, and don't we all, mm-hmm. Just, you know, it doesn't have to be a professional Christian counselor, although that's fine, or just talk to a good, wise, older Christian or your pastor, but try to get some help and healing and prayer for what wounded you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You talked about the church as a safe harbor. Mm-hmm. What would you say to those who have experienced abuse in the church?
Isn't it from hell when a pastor abuses children, mm-hmm. or a Catholic priest abuses children? That is so from hell. Mm-hmm. The one place that's supposed to be safe is not safe. And if anybody watching this has been abused by a pastor or a priest, please forgive the church, because that was evil. And then also please forgive the churches that didn't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I was at Hope Lutheran, I had to deal with a guy that was sexually molesting his stepdaughter. Mm-hmm. And it's hard,
mm-hmm.
but you got to do it,
mm-hmm.
and not ignore it. So just forgive people, but still go back to church. Don't let some evil priest keep you from enjoying God and his people.
True. Very true.
Yeah.
How do I know if I am in a good, safe church?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, you would have elders that deal with the pastor if he needs to be dealt with, and mm-hmm. won't let him keep doing evil things. But you want to make sure you go to a church that believes in the Trinity, that unashamedly worships the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, a church that believes the Bible is the highest authority and not science or modern discoveries. No, the Bible is our highest authority. You want to be in a church that teaches we're saved by God's grace, by the cross of Christ, and not by our good works. So those are some of the things. If your church is into abortion rights, you're in favor of abortion rights, mm-hmm. you're in favor of gay sex, that kind of stuff, you want to get out of that church.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How do I begin a conversation about Christ? I get scared and feel a little awkward.
You know, I do too, and I've been doing it for years, mm-hmm. but I still get nervous. I mean, when I get on a plane and think I'm going to start talking to the person next to me about Christ, I get nervous.
Mm-hmm.
All I can tell you is you pray, and sometimes it just doesn't come up. And then sometimes you pray, Lord, open a door, and he opens the door.
Mm-hmm.
So just pray for God to open the door, and then see what happens.
That's all you can do. Rely
yeah.
on the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
Who are some good missionaries I can support?
Yeah, we talked about missions today with, mm-hmm. with Mary Slessor, and everybody, I would Google these words.
Mm-hmm.
The Jesus Film Project.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful ministry around the world bringing people to Christ. Google the words reaching unreached nations. Google the words, my personal favorite, the Timothy Initiative.
Yeah.
Or Google the words International Christians Concerned. They not only do evangelism around the world, they also help Christians who are being persecuted for their faith. Or that's International Christians Concerned. Or same thing with Voice of the Martyrs. So those are some good missions. You know the money's going where it's supposed to go, mm-hmm. not to some prosperity preacher's jet.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Good. Why don't Pentecostals observe Palm Sunday?
Yeah, some lady wrote me this. She was not raised Pentecostal. Now she's a Pentecostal, but her new church does not celebrate Palm Sunday. And what I wrote her back is, Catholics, Lutherans, Episcopalians, Methodists, Presbyterians, all observe what's called Holy Week, mm-hmm. starting with Palm Sunday when Jesus rode into the city and people waved their palms, and then they killed him 5 days later, mm-hmm. on Good Friday, then he rose on Easter Sunday. Christians have been celebrating Palm Sunday since about 300 AD, and maybe before. But the first reference we have to Palm Sunday is in Jerusalem. The Christians were observing Palm Sunday by kind of going from church to church. Now, it could have been going on earlier than that, but that's the first known reference. And then we know that Palm Sunday was observed in medieval Europe and stuff. Now, I said to her, non-denominational churches, maybe Pentecostal churches, maybe some of them do not observe Palm Sunday. Hmm. Now, I said the reason being, there's never a verse that says you have to observe Palm Sunday. So can you be a Christian and not observe Palm Sunday? Certainly you can. I like it. Mm-hmm. And my position is kind of Martin Luther on this. Nothing's wrong with church tradition, mm-hmm. as long as it doesn't contradict Scripture. I mean, when you've got a church tradition like purgatory or indulgences, this kind of stuff, that contradicts salvation by grace alone, yeah, you got to throw that tradition away. But there's lots of traditions going all the way back to the early church mm-hmm. are fine. All right, they're not in the Bible. You don't have to do them, but they're helpful. So why not? Mm-hmm. And I've said this before on the air, but it's not in the Bible. Well, light bulbs aren't in the Bible either. I bet your church uses them, you know? So there you go. Yeah.
Should pastors of a church tithe their salaries?
Yeah, that was a question that was sent in. Mm-hmm. Pastors of the church are just like anybody else. If you believe Christians are supposed to tithe, give 10%, then that applies to the pastor as well. Now, here's where it gets a little tricky. Tithing was an Old Testament concept given to the Jews. Mm-hmm. In the New Testament, it never says to tithe to Christians. Paul says, give as you prosper. Mm-hmm. And my opinion is, again, my opinion, I think in America, we should at least tithe. We're one of the wealthiest nations on earth. Almost every Christian that's listening to me mm-hmm. can give 10% of their money to the church and to missions. So But then I think we should more than tithe. We should give offerings above and beyond. So same answer for pastors and the lay people.
We've been blessed, that's for sure.
Yep.
I think we have time, but do we have time for a quick one?
Go right ahead.
Our friend tells us hell is not for eternity. He feels people perish quickly and then are gone. Yep. I was taught hell is forever.
Yep.
Your thoughts?
That friend of theirs believes in what's called annihilationism, that when you die, if you don't believe in Christ, you just get wiped out. You don't go to hell for eternity. Doesn't work. Jesus talked about eternal punishment. Mm-hmm. And Jesus talked about people in hell weeping and gnashing their teeth.
Yes.
The guy in Luke is in hell trying to get out. So it's not like they're wiped out. They're down there. They're in hell suffering eternally, the Bible says.
Forever.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us today on the Pastor's Study. Continue to read His Word, study His Word. That's how you'll know the Lord. Until next time, thank you for joining us. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.